I'm Rich Egger, and this is Emphasis. Today's guest is library specialist Greg Phelps of the Malpass Library at Western Illinois University. We're going to talk about graphic novels, and perhaps you can start by explaining the difference between a comic book and a graphic novel.
A lot of it is length, really. A comic book's more of a shorter story, whereas a graphic novel can be a whole story arc. For example, you know, one issue per month, you could have a graphic novel that takes a whole year of the comic book series and puts a story arc into a whole one book form. And that's one of the differences. The other difference is they're a little more, I guess, open about issues they discuss, and they're open on issues of sexuality, violence, and things like that. They're not quite as regulated as normal comic books are.
And I've seen graphic novels that are both fiction and nonfiction, whereas I don't think a comic book would be nonfiction.
No, very rarely would they be nonfiction. Most of them are obviously fiction, be it superhero fiction or adventure fiction. But you have graphic novels that chronicle things like one title we've got is called Our Cancer Year, documents of families dealing with cancer. All kinds of things like that come up in graphic novels.
For someone not familiar with graphic novels, what might be some good books for getting started?
Well, I think some of the best books for getting started, it depends on whether you're into the whole superhero genre or not. We have quite a few of the Batman series, who has been one of the superheroes that has been very prolific graphic novel-wise. One of my favorites is called Speeding Bullets. It's the Batman mythos, but with a Superman twist to it. One of the recent, off of the recent movies, if you wanted The Dark Knight Rises, you could read Night's End or Nightfall. That was kind of the same storyline. You could also read something like Heath Ledger's inspiration for his portrayal of the Joker, which was called Batman the Killing Joke. I like the Punisher series as well, but there's just something for everyone. I could probably give you a list of about 40 titles that I could think of that are really, really good.
One of the reasons we're talking to you about this is because the Malpass Library has developed a collection of graphic novels. How large is it now?
We are currently at 590 titles, but we have some currently in process. By the time we're done, we'll be right up around the 600 mark, and that's been a real exciting thing for me. This started several years ago. Dean Howd, who was a faculty member here, and also Bill Thompson, got the idea to get a grant from Carly, our consortium group, to start this, and then they enlisted me, knowing that I loved graphic novels and comic books, and we've really taken it from there. It has been really fun to see how quickly this has grown.
Yeah, why do you suppose it was started? Was there a need? Do you think they'd become so popular that it was something the library should offer?
Well, actually, academics have really started to see how you can use this in the classroom. I know several of our English faculty members, Chris Morrow is one of them in the English department that uses these a lot, because it's another way to tell a story. Finally, folks are kind of opening their eyes to how the visual and the literary match up with each other, and you're getting them taught in high schools and elementary schools. There's quite a series on Shakespeare's literature, and it's a way to introduce children in the schools to it. They think they're reading a comic book or a graphic novel, but they're actually learning about English literature that way.
How popular is the collection at Malpass?
Very. I've especially noticed this year we've been moving a lot of them back and forth. We send a lot out via our interlibrary loan and our iShare group. So it's been very, very popular, and it kind of rolls in waves. There was an article on the presentation I did in the Courier last week. You'll see a spike come in that. Also, when your interview comes out, we'll see a spike up, but it has been very, very popular. A lot of our titles move a lot.
Yeah, you mentioned the presentation that you recently gave, titled With Great Sexuality Comes Great Comics. Can you share a bit of that with us?
Well, what I talked about was how, if you know the term Tijuana Bibles, they were sex comics that were started in the 20s and 30s, how they were really the first underground comics and how they influenced the underground comics movement, which went into the 60s and 70s, and how they influenced the graphic novel today. And one of the main themes was is the portrayal of sexuality, how it has opened up over the years in not only comic books but in graphic novels. Also, how that the drawing of female anatomy has really changed, and one of the ways it changed was the underground comics really let artists be a lot freer to draw the female form as well as the male form, and that really has influenced graphic novels to this point.
Draw those body forms how?
Well, everybody jokes about how the superheroines are drawn in comic books with, you know, exaggerated breasts, exaggerated curves, and that's one of the things that people talk about is how they that changed with the underground comics. In fact, they took it to the other extreme, you know, the extreme exaggeration, whereas at the time comic books were not allowed to do that as they were under the Comics Code authority. They were not allowed to do that, whereas these underground comics were able to exaggerate, you know, being a male-driven industry, the desirable female body parts. So that kind of, in a backdoor way, came back into the comic book.
You know, you mentioned underground comics. Is there still an underground scene, or has this all largely gone sort of mainstream now?
Yes and no. It depends on what you would call, you know, underground comics movement now. Back in the 60s and 70s, they were sold at a lot of the same shops where they purchased marijuana, sold at head shops throughout the country because they couldn't be published through normal means, so they were self-published. Now you have smaller publishers that will pick up the underground titles. I guess you could call underground comics now more of the non-mainstream, you know, like DC, Marvel, and things like that. You could, to some extent, call those underground comics. So there's still a movement.
Can library visitors check out the books in the graphic novel collection?
Oh, yes, yes.
Just like any other?
Just like any other book. All you have to do is have an ID, which a driver's license will do, or if you're a Western Illinois University student or faculty member or staff, all you have to do is show them your WIU ID.
You earlier mentioned the wide variety of genres, I guess, within the graphic novel world. The collection at Melpass, does that cover a lot of genres?
Yes, we try to hit everything that we can. I've even gone from anime and manga titles all the way to, as I mentioned, like Our Cancer Year. There's another one called Blankets that was pretty popular. There's also like Kick-Ass, you've seen the movie that came out a couple weeks ago or a couple years ago. You can also see things like, you know, Batman, Superman, what you think of as the standards, the Incredible Hulk, X-Men, things like that, the superhero genre. But we also delve into, like, the real-life issues. I know there's one I talked about, 100 Demons is another one. We also have titles like Mouse, which is, of course, featured here and in our Holocaust collection because it's the story of one survivor's tale of the Holocaust drawn by Art Spiegelman. So there are a lot of great stories that are told through those and are really being recognized as a new way of expressing art and literature in our society. And I think folks are missing out if they just think it's just a comic book collection. No, it's not. It's a work of literature. And I think folks really need to be open to that, not only for their children, but for themselves as well. Some really great reads, and I encourage them to come into the Malpass Library and check it out.
Is Mouse, when graphic novels sort of went mainstream, was that sort of the first big mainstream graphic novel?
It was one of those that helped push it along. There were several others. The Dark Knight Returns, the story of a 50-something-year-old Batman that returns to crime fighting. That was one of the big ones in the 80s that really turned things. I can think of one drawn by Will Eisner, who is very famous in the comic book and graphic novel industry, the Contract with God trilogy about a Jewish tenement in, I believe it's New York City. That one kind of started things, but between Batman, Mouse, also The Punisher became very prolific due to the violent nature of the comic itself. It lent itself to graphic novels. The 80s were really when the graphic novels started to pick up.
The Malpass collection, what are some of the better-known titles? And you may have mentioned some of them already.
I mentioned The Killing Joke. That one, of course, inspired Heath Ledger's portrayal of the Joker. That has been an extremely popular one. We also have V for Vendetta. That's been very popular. Watchmen. That's been one of our popular titles. In fact, is on reserve and is being taught in part of one of the classes here. Mouse is very, very popular. Some of the ones I like, there's a title called Superman Red Sun. It's Superman as envisioned if Joseph Stalin found him instead of the Kent family, which is, I think, a really cool re-envisioning. There are several. Several of our Punisher titles have been very popular and gone throughout the area. Fun Home, which has been taught here on campus, is a very, very popular title that's maybe not necessarily a superhero genre, is more of a real-life genre as well.
Are there any you think deserve a wider audience than perhaps they enjoy right now?
I would say all of them do. Of course, I love and I review every one of them as they come through. But I think folks really should check out our anime and manga titles. Love Hina is one of those I think is a very well-written story. We also have some of the Naruto series, which is really more literary than you think. But we do have a bunch of the anime and manga titles I really wish folks would look at a little more.
When did you become interested in graphic novels?
Well, mine started with the love of comic books in later high school. I'm a huge Incredible Hulk fan, have been since the late 80s when I was in high school. But, you know, I've been around comic books all my life. I started with, like, the Carl Barks DuckTales series and the Uncle Scrooge and Donald Duck, Mickey Mouse stories, and graduated on to the superheroes. But really, in my high school and college years, got into those and was so glad that we could share the collection here, as I've donated quite a few of the ones that I had personally to the collection because I just want to see us further this collection.
Yeah, you mentioned you donated some. How else are you acquiring books? Are you purchasing them, or do you often receive donations from others?
We take it always, I guess you could say. You know, I donated donated over 100 now to the collection. We take a lot of donations. We also have started to purchase a few through our funds. But as everyone knows, you know, funds are limited right now. So obviously we can't buy as many as I would like to. But if folks want to donate some of their favorite graphic novels to us, you can contact me. I'm always happy to take those.
Who are some of your favorite artists and writers?
Well, Neil Adams is one of the great artists. Of course, Alan Moore has produced a ton of great graphic novels. There are just so many of them out there. Peter David, who did a lot of the Hulk run of the 80s and 90s, a big favorite of mine. Of course, there's also John Romita Jr., who is one of mine that actually delves in more of the erotica. Milo Manara, a wonderful artist who does a lot of great works of erotica. We don't have quite as many of those here in our collection due to a variety of reasons, but he's one of my favorites as well.
And where in the library can someone find the graphic novel collection?
Well, it's pretty easy. One of the ways I would suggest is we have a wonderful staff at the reference desk that are always happy to help you search out the graphic novels. They do a fantastic job in general, whether it's a paper or whether it's finding the graphic novels, start with the reference desk. We also, a lot of them are located on the fifth floor in the PN call numbers like PN6727 or PN6728, PN6790. If you just want to browse, they're mainly on the fifth floor. There are a few scattered throughout other categories as well, but I'd really start with a reference.
Okay, library specialist Greg Phelps is with the Melpass Library at Western Illinois University. For Tri-State's Public Radio News, I'm Rich Egger.